You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. Today, we're pleased to welcome Frank Bach. Frank is the lead product designer at Headspace, a global leader in mindfulness and meditation through its app and online content offerings. With millions of users in more than 190 countries, Headspace has one mission: to improve the health and happiness of the world. Prior to Headspace, Frank worked on the global launch of Red Bull TV. His work spans product growth and brand design and has been recognized with numerous awards. He's interested in the relationship between mindfulness and creativity and how meditation can empower you to be a stronger designer and more engaged contributor. Good morning, Frank. So great to have you.
Hey, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to connect with you. Perhaps we could start out with a little bit about your origin story. How did you arrive at Headspace and what took you there?
Sure, yeah. Well, I went to school for graphic design. That was, it seemed at the time like the best way to make a living with my interests and maybe my skill set. Always kind of, you know, loved hacking around on a computer and trying to, you know, learn to code and build websites and things like that. And always had a passion for art and drawing and design. And, you know, I had no idea what, you know, what communication design was or marketing or advertising, but I knew there was something there that, you know, was of interest to me and thought maybe I could be good at it. But, you know, I didn't really have any real like role models or anything like that to look up to. And I don't think in school the guidance counselors were quite there yet to send me down that path. But yeah, I grew up playing music, skateboarding, and, you know, I was never a great musician. I was more the person you wanted in your band to make album artwork and do the logistics of touring and things like that. So I was pretty organized in that way. And that's what got me interested in design, was really like skateboard graphics and music artwork and that kind of thing. And yeah, I went to school and learned the tools of the trade of graphic design, brand, marketing, advertising, things like that. And then this was just before, you know, really going to date myself, but just before the iPhone launched. And so this idea of designing websites for mobile devices was a totally foreign idea. But right when that happened, it's a little bit after the recession, I wasn't able to find any work. There were some companies hiring, but I feel like kind of the approach I had to design wasn't super suitable for the kind of, I guess, more corporate environments that I was looking at. And so me and a friend launched our own studio, and just a two-person operation, and it eventually scaled up to be about 8 people, ran that for 7 years, and we really became like the go-to digital agency in Northern Ontario, which is, you know, anywhere north of Toronto, you know, Sudbury area, if anyone listening is familiar with Northern Ontario. That was really a trip. That was a really fun time. We had some amazing clients like Science North and the Art Gallery of Sudbury, and even did some government work and worked with Toyota for a little bit. And so that was very much like brand, marketing, digital, that kind of world. And I mentioned earlier the App Store. So that kind of happened, and really getting into responsive web design. And man, there's something here. There's something I don't know that is going on in the world that I really want to learn more about. And I had no idea really how to do it. Me and that business partner split up, and I ran the company with my wife for a little while. She came on as a partner. She's also a designer. And we basically had this opportunity where we could suddenly, you know, really kind of choose our path forward. Like, what's the next 5 years for us look like? Do we continue with this agency, or do I start to look at work elsewhere? And I had never ever really been on the job hunt as an adult. You know, I kind of looked out of college, kind of looked around, but
carved your own path.
Yeah, and I didn't know where to land. You know, was I an account executive? Was I a creative director? Was I a digital designer? Like, when you're running a studio, you're kind of doing a lot, right? So totally random. A friend of mine was working at Facebook in San Francisco at the time and knew that I was looking for something new, and asked if I'd want to be put into their recruitment kind of funnel. So I interviewed with them and, you know, totally embarrassed myself. I was like, oh, there's so much I don't know. And that was really tough. that was painful to go through. And I thought, you know what? I wish they'd just give me a chance, or I can give myself a chance. I'll take the next 6 months, double down on learning about digital product design and user experience design. And so I did everything. Like we paused the agency work and just outsourced everything. You know, you got to find the time to learn.
Yeah.
But knowing that we would eventually shut that down and I would be, you know, going on the job hunt for a more focused position in-house at a company, hopefully. And just went all in, podcasts, articles, conferences, everything I could do. And it just totally changed, I guess, changed my identity in a way, because I went from this like self-employed entrepreneur agency guy into like a product designer. And then I was lucky to land the job working on Red Bull. They took chance on me. They needed somebody in Los Angeles. I wasn't really looking at LA. I was looking more Vancouver, Seattle, maybe San Francisco. But after visiting and interviewing, this is a wonderful place. Awesome climate, cool company. The office was a couple blocks from the Santa Monica Pier. And I thought, let's go for it. So we shut the company down, gave all our clients our notice, I guess. And moved stateside, and the Headspace job came up about a year later, and I've been there ever since, coming up on almost 5.5 years.
Wow, that's amazing. And LA is your home now?
I think LA is my home. I always joke that it always felt like it was, even though I never visited. You know, you see it in movies, you see it in music and culture, and it's kind of familiar, but not. And so once we got there, it just felt like, yeah, this is the right fit for us. And, you know, we just had a daughter. She's 11 months old now. And, you know, that's definitely...
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's definitely her home. She's a true Angelino, I guess. And it's so far, it's been a really, really positive experience, and I'm really enjoying it.
Nice. That's great. You talk a lot about holistic product and growth design. What does that mean to you, and where did that come into play?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy these days in the world of tech to think of designing for product in a, would you say, kind of business metric driven way. And this is maybe through my experience with working on Headspace, but like matching those business metrics with some more kind of human metrics, you know, like did I reduce someone's stress? But also, how much time did they spend in the app? Does this person feel happier and healthier after continued use of our meditation content, combined with how many sort of media completions they have also done, which just means completing a session? Did something in the Headspace app make you feel happier and healthier in comparison to how many media completes that person has done, which just means finishing a session, you know, from start to finish? So yeah, you can have that very kind of business product-y language. It's easy to throw around and you get really used to it in a big company, but always getting back to like, what does the user, what does the member actually need from the product or service at the time? And, you know, nobody opens an app up and thinks, I need a media complete right now, you know, or I need to consume some content right now. Like that's...
Well, now I am. Where do you get that customer feedback or the user feedback? How do you collect that data?
Yeah. Well, we've got, of course, in the app, there's some kind of basic tracking of that kind of thing. So we have a sense in our, like in our company dashboards, we can see what those metrics that kind of matter to us are looking like on a day-to-day basis. We've got a pretty robust customer experience, like member experience team, and they're constantly bringing that back to us like on a bi-weekly basis. What are like the top 10 pieces of constructive feedback? What are the top 10 complaints? What's the positive stuff we're hearing? App store reviews. What's the pulse on Twitter and Reddit? And there's all these other like kind of niche communities for the Headspace service that we're able to tap into. And so many people have very like positive and sometimes life-changing experience with the app. So they're more often than not happy to talk about that. But, you know, also with that comes, if the app is not doing what you were looking to do with it, or it keeps crashing, or, you know, it's not meeting your needs, then we're also happy to hear how we can improve that.
Right. And who is your target audience? Is it someone that's really just dipping their toes into meditation, or is it somebody that's already has that woven into their life?
Right. I think in the past, especially with our brand approach of kind of like the animations and the cartoonish look and feel, some people might have described Headspace as like training wheels for meditation or like a great way to learn how to meditate. But mm-hmm. I think nowadays we're trying mm-hmm. to do the full span of meditation end user, whether it's somebody who's new or looking to build a habit or more experienced. But over the past few years, some of the projects I've been involved in have been trying to get Headspace beyond meditation. So we have now like a sleep offering to mm-hmm. help, like tools to help you fall asleep, mm-hmm. Which have become very, very popular. There's also a section in the app for like movement and fitness, like yoga and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then one of the, what I find very exciting is the music, the focus music component, which has been a really fun way for the company mm-hmm. to kind of flex its media arm a little bit. And we've got some compilations with artists like Arcade Fire and Erykah Badu. And just neat to see how that's all kind of mm-hmm. come together. Because when I started 5 years ago, these were like pipe dreams, you know, these were not like realistic yeah. in any way. And so to have stuck around and being able to see that through, mm-hmm. I'm really, really appreciative.
Yeah. And different personalities that people would be aware of already, like Kevin Hart. How did that come to be?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, this might be like the Southern California, like LA effect, but you know, I think our founders and some folks at the company are very exposed to that environment. You know, they're in touch with, you know, when you're a company like Headspace and we have a full on content studio that's working on podcasts and the Netflix series, we are definitely like a mix between, what would you say, like a digital product, a media company, a mental health mm-hmm. service. Like there's this kind of all these mm-hmm. things that we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, similar to the Kevin Hart content that we have, we brought on John Legend as our chief music officer. And so...
very cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I think, part of meeting people where they're at. And that's kind of been the story since the beginning was, mm-hmm. you know, you might ask like, hey, why do you have a meditation app on a phone? I don't, you know, I want to get away from my phone or something. But like, mm-hmm. that's where you're at. That's where people are at. And mm-hmm. we've had a lot more success reaching people through their phones than not. Mm-hmm. We could go all mm-hmm. into like physical products or you know, a meditation candle or a meditation pillow or something. You know, there's all
product line is next.
There's a million.
Get some merch out there.
There's a million nice. Ideas, a million ways you could try it. But the phone has been the most successful to date, and meeting people through the kind of the content with people that they know and trust has been mm-hmm. a good way to reach a bigger audience.
Yeah, and I really love too that you've opened it up for families as well.
Totally.
And there's some great sessions on there for kids of all different ages. And it's a way to get everybody involved. Because I think once you start incorporating the mindfulness and this kind of thinking, it really is something that you're not doing on your own. You want to include your family members as well.
Right. No, I love hearing that. And, you know, it hasn't always been the case that, you know, meditation or mindfulness was something that you would even talk to your friends about or your family about. But over the mm-hmm. years, we've seen that change. And depending on the geography you're in, that, you know, different countries, different areas of the world are at different stages of the mental health conversation. I think that's been expedited a lot with the pandemic. But yeah, the family sessions that we have, I'm really proud of that stuff. And I was also able to work on both our student plans and family plans, setting up membership and discounts around those offerings. Yeah, I mean, it's mm-hmm. there's so much more that we want to do as well. But like, you know, mm-hmm. timelines and prioritizing always has to kind of come first. Mm-hmm. But yeah, over the time I've been working on the project, it's I've definitely been able to see a lot of the kind of the wish mm-hmm. list of features and things happen. So it's really, really mm-hmm. enjoyable.
And has your daughter started to pick up on some of this programming in the series?
Yeah. At 11 months, she's a little early, but you know.
At least recognize the pictures.
Yeah. I mean, I bring her in on the Zoom calls once in a while and show her cartoons. Nice. And as a team, we meditate every day. We at least have the opportunity to. So I'll bring her in and she'll mm-hmm. maybe be sitting on my lap working from mm-hmm. home and join in on that mm-hmm. stuff. Through my wife's pregnancy, we do have a book, The Headspace Guide to Pregnancy. And she did read through that book and is also kind of an avid meditator. So I think that mm-hmm. effect on our kids' well-being, hopefully that kind of mm-hmm. pays off in the end, and she can be a nice balanced individual who knows how to deal with the stresses of life.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about Sunshine Shop. You've branched out into retail.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's my fun little side project. Sunshine Shop was, I always work in a kind of iterative way. I have some successful projects and some unsuccessful, and I learned, you just don't hear about those anymore. They kind of launch and we try something and then they go away. So the ones that are working mm-hmm. tend to stick around. Just as a hobby, I wanted to make a little bit of merch, make some t-shirts, some tote bags and phone cases and things like that. Mm-hmm. Just for myself, I was looking for certain kind of like apparel that I wasn't totally finding elsewhere. And I was just making it for myself to kind of wear out in the world and to work and stuff. And people started asking like, hey, that's like kind of a cool shirt. Where did you get that? And I made it. And then mm-hmm. that's where I could start to see that there was maybe a little bit of a demand there where maybe there was an audience. Maybe, and at first I thought like it would be people who looked like me, like just people with my interests, people of kind of mm-hmm. my age and background. And then started to concept a few more items. And then my wife saw that I was having a lot of fun trying to build this e-commerce website and figure out all the logistics of like printing and shipping and how do you get stuff into mm-hmm. people's hands and how do you price it? And then she got really stoked and wanted to start making some stuff herself. So then we had the first launch, which was about 2 years ago. And since then, it's really transformed into something totally different. It's not really mm-hmm. about me. It's not my stuff too much. We had a lot of success partnering with some influencers in like the wellness and it's kind of like spiritual environment. People that we found on Instagram just kind of organically who would like our stuff yeah. and
slid into their DMs.
Oh, I certainly did. I certainly did. hey, can we send you some mm-hmm. stuff? And then, if they mm-hmm. like it and they post it and we see that there's some synergy there where what they've got going on and what we've got going on could be a good match. I'll typically work with those people on kind of a partnership model where Sunshine mm-hmm. Shop is like the umbrella shop. And underneath that umbrella yep. is, a handful or so of different merch collections for different people who have yep. a much broader reach than I could ever have. We're mm-hmm. talking people in the like hundreds of thousands of followers and very like yeah. niche loyal audiences. And so, that's mm-hmm. been kind of the secret sauce to the Sunshine Shop. And I'm cool. just happy that I continued to go and follow the direction that was working. I wasn't stubborn about like, I want it to be this and not that. I was just kind of like, well, this seems to be taking a life of its own. So I'll continue to shepherd this in whatever direction it wants mm-hmm. to go. And I yeah. have so much fun partnering with artists and helping them bring their stuff to life. Because mm-hmm. for a lot of people, building a website and hooking up the logistics of shipping and printing is not something that excites them. But for me, it is. Yeah. And if I can come in and support them and help them create a new little line of business, a little extra revenue we can profit share from, then everybody's happy.
That's great.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And have you seen any changes for Sunshine Shop during this past year and a half, during COVID?
I think it's like two things at once, where people were online shopping a lot more through the pandemic. And then two, people were maybe buying clothes that were less formal. And then also mm-hmm. like gearing up to things opening up and being able to go out into the world again. I think people were more selective about like, what's my like out in the world outfit going to be? Because I can't, yeah. I can't mm-hmm. live.
My big debut.
Yeah. So yeah. I think there's a couple of those things that happened. And I just spent a lot of time kind of like building relationships and partnerships over the last, I don't know, maybe the last year. And there's a couple more that are launching soon. I think that's the path forward until we've kind of like maximized those partnerships. But again, like from a design perspective and product perspective, mm-hmm. that poses some huge, what do you say, like communication and information architecture yeah. puzzles, you know, like mm-hmm. how do you architect this website or this e-commerce to be able to contain all of this stuff and have it all make mm-hmm. sense? So that's been on my mind. That keeps me up at night for sure.
Mm-hmm. And what does the fulfillment look like? Are you in the basement packing boxes?
No, or? Absolutely not. I did not want a lifestyle change. I said, I've burnt myself out in the past. I've taken on way too much in the past on, you know, in my different jobs and projects and past mm-hmm. lives. But I told myself, I'm going to do this and I'm going to try to make it all the most hands-off thing possible. And so that was mm-hmm. like one of the initial challenges was, how can we find all the right print-on-demand suppliers? How can we make the profit margins make sense? Because it's definitely going to be more expensive on a per-item basis. Mm-hmm. Doing that research, finding, you know, quality garments, quality merch around that, you know, that ships globally as well. That was one of the bigger challenges. But I'm really glad I did now, because it's really just a kind of relationship building and marketing job at this point.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So back to Headspace. It's interesting to see how things have evolved a little bit over the past year and a half, especially related to mindfulness and meditation and even people taking more of an open approach to their mental health. And people, I feel like, are a little bit more open to talking about that and, mm-hmm. and not being afraid to really be vulnerable. Have you seen the users' behavior in your app change, or at least an uptick? Do you feel like that is related to COVID?
Yeah, definitely an uptick. And then I think a big demand from employers who are, they're looking to support their staff, support their employees in ways beyond kind of like basic healthcare packages. People need that extra little help. And hopefully it's something that Headspace can offer and help them with. That's been probably a big area of growth, I would say. That was a little bit unexpected, but you know, it's we're happy to see it. But really balancing like a direct to consumer and a B2B business at the same time, which kind of brings us to the next big announcement, which was just announced. It was yesterday, but by the time people are listening, it'll be a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Headspace announced that we're merging with a teletherapy product called Ginger, who are one of the bigger services in the B2B space. So that's kind of next on the horizon for us, figuring out what all of that kind of means and, you know, what the next 3 to 6 months look like as a company, mm-hmm. as a product, as a service. So I would mm-hmm. say we've, you know, grown from the teenagers in the meditation space into the mm-hmm. adults in the kind of broader mental health space.
That's amazing. Big evolution for you guys. Yeah. Talking about the team at Headspace mm-hmm. and what does that look like in regards to mental health and how you foster that positive environment?
Yeah. Well, like from the design side, I would say like exploration is the best way to get to, you know, creative innovation, creating a space that is psychologically safe for people to do that exploration in, I think is key. As a like lead designer, I really do my best to make sure that people are feeling comfortable to explore in that way. You know, I mentioned earlier the daily meditation, like more broadly on the company level, we have our no meeting Fridays, which really helps a lot, you know, kind of take the edge off, especially when you're in like back-to-back Zoom calls often. And then every
Zoom fatigue is real.
Yeah. Zoom fatigue is so real. And yeah, so in addition to the, every second Friday, no meeting day, we have the alternate Friday is what we call mind day, which is a day off. So that's been happening through the pandemic, and I think we'll keep it. It's been such a great perk. I mean, it's just so nice to have that day to catch up on administrative stuff, you know, your appointments and more family time, that kind of thing. So I think everybody really loves and appreciates that.
Life.
Yeah, just life. It's really awesome. Life. So I think with, you know, all those things, and of course there's other stuff I could probably go on forever. But yeah, that giving the team that kind of space and allowing us to do proper research and get into the work and make sure we're designing and building the right thing and not just chasing a deadline for no reason. That's been a very different work experience for me.
Yeah. So you spent the early part of your career as an agency owner in Northern Ontario with, I would assume, primarily Canadian clients. Yep. And now you're in LA.
Yep.
What does that look like for you? Has your experience with Canadian design been any different than how you approach things in LA?
Yeah, it's very different in a few ways. One, when we were working in Canada, we were mostly working on projects that required like pretty robust RFP, like proposals. So that like, especially in the government environment where it was like really like super detailed outlines of what the proposal should contain. Whereas I feel like in the US...
Give us all your knowledge. Yeah,
give us everything. I feel like in the US, people are a little bit more open to... Probably just because you're working with more private companies and entrepreneurs. I would say the size of projects, both in like... Both in budget and kind of impact that people are looking for, that's maybe like, you know, double to 10x. So again, that like just figuring out like what do rates look like in the US? Like what is, how do I adjust for that?
So I've heard.
I think the startup environment being like very, especially on the West Coast, like there's a lot of dreamers, a lot of people who want to do big things and make a lot of money and impact a lot of people in, you know, in positive ways or totally disrupt industries. That like dream is still very much there. So to kind of like, to be a designer, approached with that kind of a challenge is like a little bit overwhelming, but also fun. I think startups in general, there's just like a lot of them. Like I had a friend say, like you should just move here, even if it was with a job that you didn't like totally love. Don't worry about it. You'll find another one like soon. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around that because it was especially in Sudbury, it felt like it was such slim pickings. It felt very I felt very territorial of the clients we worked with, sort of like, you know, these are my clients. I don't want to share them with anybody. If I even hear that they're working with other agencies, I'd be a little bitter about it.
Yeah.
Whereas that's kind of tech environment, things are a little bit more open, mostly because you're building services and products with customers rather than kind of servicing somebody's like marketing or advertising needs. So yeah, there's the RFP aspect. And then I think just like, competition-wise, people joke a lot about how Canada is, it can be a bit of a monopoly in terms of like telecom, retail. I mean, any industry, you know, you look at like oil and gas, like there are a few key companies and families who kind of run those companies. It can be a little bit tough to innovate in that with that situation. I look back at just 7-8 years ago, I only ever got paid in checks, paper checks. In the US, people would be like, what is this? Like, what are you even giving me? Like, are you, you know, wire transfer?
Have you been paid?
Yeah. Wire transfers and
NFTs.
Yeah, NFTs. They want crypto. And I think too, just the pace of business is a lot faster, I would say. Maybe this is like the agency world versus startup world. It's kind of hard to say, but there was a lot of hesitancy to do like video calls when I was living in Canada. People really wanted to meet in person, meet at your office, meet in their office, get the kind of whole song and dance, you know, how they were spending their money.
Feel like part of the family.
I think in the US, and maybe this is also a COVID thing, people are just really like, let's get on a call this afternoon. Let's hash it out. Let's get, you know, let's get the deposit in tomorrow and like get you going, like, you know, get started. So that those are some key differences I've definitely noticed.
It's interesting as an agency owner myself, the efficiency that video conferencing has introduced versus meeting in person. I had an in-person meeting a couple of days ago and, you know, it takes 3 hours out of your day for a 1 hour meeting. And during COVID, I think I managed to fit 11 meetings into a single day. And I'm almost considering, you know, do I now charge for travel time if their preference is in person? Because that's my time.
That's a possibility. I mean, I have these memories of getting up in the morning to, you know, to go to maybe like a press event where maybe a client of ours was launching a new initiative and we were doing some of the marketing for it. So I felt an obligation to be there, you know, from like 9 to 11, socialize a bit, then make it out to like a Chamber of Commerce event over lunch where I could maybe bump shoulders with like president of a university or something. And then in the afternoon, like somehow get home, you know, scarf down some food and try to work for the rest of the day. Like that's it.
An entire day of work.
So unsustainable.
I totally hear that. It's something that I am actively grappling with at the moment.
Real.
Yeah. Are you up for a little rapid fire?
Let's do it.
All right. So whatever, no wrong answers. First thing that comes to mind, and we'll just go through them. What was your first job?
Market One was a company that did outbound sales, telemarketing. So I was selling mortgages and refinances to people. And I was like 18 years old and I had no idea what I was doing, but that was the first job.
Wow. Night owl or early bird?
Used to be night owl, now an early bird. I feel
not my choice.
I can do both, but only one at a time.
Cat or dog person?
Dog person.
What was the first thing you marketed?
I marketed a smart car for a campaign for a local college where we wrapped the whole thing in some really funky decals. And I ended up buying a smart car a few years later because I really loved the actual design of the vehicle.
Nice. Your marketing was so good, you convinced yourself.
Here's a subtle flex. It did win a Canadian Marketing Award. And that was maybe not the greatest way to start your career, but it was a moment.
On a high.
It was such a high. It's all downhill.
You only have down to go. Nice. What's your favorite word right now?
Favorite word? It's my daughter's name, Cove, C-O-V-E. I just love the letter structure. I love that there's no ascenders or descenders in the type. It's just like a nice little cute block, four letters, nice and tidy. So that's my favorite word.
Have you designed a logo for her yet?
No logo yet. No.
What's a movie you love?
A movie I love? Midnight in Paris.
Good one. Favorite song or album?
Song or album? There's a Canadian band. Their name is a bit of a expletive. They're called Effed Up, and they are Toronto-based hardcore band. They've been around for probably 20 years now. Again, don't judge the band by the name. I'm not sure how they got there, but the album is called Hidden World, and just such a big influence to me in the way that I approach life, approach music and art. And I might have a few tattoos of the album art.
Nice. We have a vinyl collection and my son, who's 9, was very proud of himself for pulling out the record Holy F and paraded it around to the grandparents and thought he was just found the greatest thing on the entire planet.
I love it.
Yeah. That was, yeah, just a couple days ago. I was like, oh my God. Anyways, it's actually a really good band. And he wanted to know how much they swear. Yeah. And I'm like, it's instrumental. Yeah. It's
not even... Oh, it's amazing.
Favorite children's book?
Favorite children's book? There's a book called I'll Be Brave by Jessica Hish, who's a really great designer, illustrator. We picked that up for our daughter, and it's a really cute book. I mean, I'm in children's book. We've got so many. It's honestly hard to even remember which ones we have. But yeah, that one stands out to me.
Awesome. I'm going to check that out for sure. What is an app on your phone you can't live without?
App on my phone I can't live without. Headspace is a little too on the nose. So let's say, I'll say the weather. I love
other than
the
Headspace.
Weather app. Love the weather app.
Oh,
nice,
yeah.
Simple, utility.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Go-to every morning. Maybe more in Sudbury than in LA.
It's so predictable. Yeah.
Yeah. Best thing you bought for under $10?
Best thing I bought for under $10. I bought this little tiny plastic drawer that fits about like maybe five pens and a sticky notes. And it's a little, it just has little adhesives and you can pop it under your desk. And that was, I don't know, a few bucks on Amazon. And I ended up buying two of them because they were just so handy under my desk.
Nice. Well, my next question is about a life hack you'd be willing to share. I feel like that might be connected.
Life hack I'd be willing to share. Okay. I mean, there'll be a gap between my answer because I have to think of, I want to be really thoughtful about this, even though we're in rapid fire. Life hack.
That's okay.
Biggest life hack. Yeah. Is spending time on your mental health. Maybe if you can afford it, if you have access to it, going to therapy, helping you gain a little bit more self-awareness, work through some problems you have, and maybe some problems you didn't know you had. That's been a big unlock for me.
Mm-hmm. If you weren't doing this job, what would you be doing?
I'd love to be like an NHL scout or something. You know, spend some time in arenas watching people play. I love hockey.
That's the Canadian in you coming out.
Yeah, I had to drop it for this podcast.
That's the Canadian in you coming out.
Yeah.
Okay. What's a business or marketing book you'd recommend?
Business or marketing book? I like Hacking Growth by Sean Ellis. I really enjoyed. And then 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel. I think both those books are really smart, like product design / marketing / everything books. If you're looking to work in the world of product and kind of like business design, those two have been super helpful for me.
Awesome. Frank, it's been such a pleasure.
Amazing.
Thank you for taking the time. It's been really great to connect with you.
Thanks very much. I really enjoyed it.
And how can our listeners connect with you?
I'm easy to find. Twitter is probably the best place. It's just Francois Bach on Twitter.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you, Frank. It's been a pleasure. And have a
Take
good
care.
One.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.